If the speaker wishes to stop early before 6:20 p.m., she may do so, and we will open the meeting for questions. As a reminder, please be aware that if you ask a question, your voice may be audible on the Light a Candle podcast. Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you'll find several speaker feeds with over 800 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep the special service active. The opinions expressed on the Light a Candle Podcast are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Ray D.
Hi, I'm Ray D., compulsive overeater, laxative bulimic, and an anorexic.
Hi,
can you all hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you for asking me to speak. So I'm sitting here, and I'm like, what am I going to talk about? A lot of people in this room have heard my story. It's the only one I've got, so what do I do, you know? And then this voice in my head, which I take to be my intuition, which I also choose to call my higher power, said, be real. Speak the truth, give some hope. So that's what I'm here tonight to do, because I've been under instruction from a power greater than myself that that's my job tonight. So, and I don't mess around with that stuff, you know. I'll get into that, doesn't matter. Okay, so just numbers out of the way. I don't know my numbers. Don't know my numbers because I don't go on scales anymore. I haven't been on a scale in a very, very long time, including when I was in triage having a child. I just didn't get on the scale. I was like, I don't. You tell me. I don't care. You know, like I just, because the one time in all these years that I had time to get on a scale, we were in San Francisco, my family and I, and they had a scale in the bathroom. And I was just like, oh, 10 minutes later, I'm on it again. 20 minutes later, I'm on it again. I'm sorry, I'm going to put this out in the hall. You guys can just take it away because I can't be around scales. Now, again, okay, so I'm only speaking for myself. My disease is very different from a lot of people's in this program, and it's also very similar to a lot of people's in this program. So the one thing I know is that we all behave unlike the rest of the population when it comes to food. That's my experience. And it's not just the overeating, because a lot of people do that, and they're cool with it. Like, they don't care. You know, it's the, if I overeat, I'm a piece of crap, and I don't deserve to live, and I might as well just take myself out. Like, that's what behind my thinking is. When I came in here, I was 26 years old. I'm going to be 62 next month, and I have abstinence the entire time. And that is because in my first meeting, after I had been told by so many people, if I just had a little more willpower, if I could just try this diet, if I just did this pain away, if I just took these drugs, if I just did these shots, everything short of surgery, somehow it was on me. It's my problem. I need to figure out a way to handle it. And I couldn't figure out a way to handle it because everything I used was just, it would work, and then it wouldn't work. And then, so I'm somebody who doesn't come from very large numbers. I think the largest I've ever been is a size 12, and the smallest I've ever been is a size 4, and I'm currently a size 6, which is insane to me because most of my life I was like a 10, and then, doesn't matter. Anyway, all the sizes. But the point of that is to say that I don't need 100 pounds on me to want to kill myself. I don't need to be on oxygen because I'm going to have a heart attack because I can't eat and I vomit. That's not me. But 30 pounds makes me want to take myself out of the world. That's my disease. And that may seem crazy because it kind of is. But the truth is, like, what I have discovered in these rooms is I believe I came out of the womb like this. My entire family tree has this on both sides. Every single person. There isn't a single one who escaped it. And so was it great to grow up in my family where it became the obsession of everybody in the family? My body became everybody's obsession. It wasn't great for the disease, but the disease was already there. So, you know, what I learned in this program is I can blame my parents. I can say, you know, if they hadn't put me on PamWiz when I was 9 and told me there was something wrong with me and it was my fault, blah, blah, who cares? That's the past. If I do that, it's like, great, I'm still attached to the problem. I can blame people. I can be a victim. And I'm not going to have any solution. I'm not going to have any serenity. And I'm not going to find God because I'm just a victim. Or I can say, yeah, that sucked. Like, the way I grew up sucked. I could tell you stories and you'd be like, oh, my God. You know, I'm like, yes, there's trauma in my childhood. I am not responsible for any of it. When I do the columns in the big book, I am not responsible for the crap that happened when I was a kid. What I am responsible for is staying with that and continuing to blame them for a life where I have tools, I have outside help, there's medication, there are things that I can use that I'm no longer the victim. I can take my life back and just say, they were doing the best they could. If they could have done better, they would have, and it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter because now I'm in charge. I'm in charge now. And so now it is my responsibility. It is my responsibility. So when I came in, I was young, I was cute, and I lived in New York City, and I had no idea. And, you know, and I was engaged, and I'm still with that person. February 1st is our 43rd anniversary. It's the anniversary of our first date. It's February 1st. And I really like him. And that wasn't possible. You know, like I he said he always saw this person. Like, he knew there was this person there, but he just was like, and then you have this madness that runs in his family. His mother, who is 86, who has dementia, is still worried about her weight. That's the one thing she's maintained out of her brain, is her weight. And I'm like, oh my God. You know? She has serious dementia, but she remembers that. So I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the skinny old lady worrying about my weight. I don't want that in my life. Like, that makes me very uncomfortable. I don't want it, and I don't have to have it if I continue to show up for these meetings. A lot of people leave. A lot of people leave. Most of my friends that I came in with, they're gone. I'm still friendly with them. I don't care. My son was in this program. He left. It's not for everybody. It just isn't. I'm not here to be a zealot. I'm not here to go, you must stay. If you stay, you'll go. I was like, no. I'm here because I want to be here. I'm here because I really, really want to be here. And the reason why I'm speaking with you this evening on a Saturday evening when I could be having a glass of wine with my husband, you know, I'm just like, no, this is what I'm doing tonight because I'm not in the AA program, just so you know. Like, I'm not, like, wait a minute. No. I'm here because I was told in order to keep it, I have to give it back. What was given freely to me, freely, nobody asked for a dime. I can't believe how much money I spent on speed, first of all, because it was illegal. I believe it's still illegal, but like, when I was taking it, it was expensive. And, you know, Coke and all that, all those drugs, not to excite myself, but to lose weight. None of that was ever for, like, getting high. You know, it was like, nah, I'm going to get the weight off. And so I need to give back because that was my life before. And my life isn't that at all today. I mean, at all. Yes, I think about my body every day. Yes, I do. And I don't do anything about it. Like, every time I'm just, it's so funny. I have this thing that I got into the habit of doing. And it would be like if I felt that I had to do something about my body, you know, because I had to do something. And then this voice in my head would go, yeah, what are you going to do about it? You know, and I was like, nothing. I'm not going to do anything other than work my program. That's what I know to do. I know to work the steps. I work the steps every single day. I say that like, because some days it is like that. You know, like, when I do my 10th step at night, I'm tired. Some nights I'm just like, no. And then I'm like, you know what? How hard is it to spend 5 minutes doing your 10 step? Like, it's not that big a deal. So I do it because I'm so grateful for the program I have. Because when I came in, I heard people who probably younger than me, who I thought were old, you know, these wise sages, and they had gone through hell. Like, they'd gone through hell with food. Everything I had done and more, and they were sane. They were sane, and their bodies weren't changing all the time. Because mine just went up and down all the time. People would remark on it, because, of course, how could they not? And I had all these different sizes in my closet. I have one size in my closet. That's remarkable, like truly remarkable. I just blew out two pairs of jeans from age. Like, I didn't, you know, wear out the seat and the thigh. Like, I actually, like, they blew out the knees. Like, they blew out where they're supposed to. And, you know, and I was like, oh, wow, this is nuts. Like, I never would have thought any of this was possible. And so it may sound like, so I'm really grateful about, you know, my body and the way it works. Yeah, because that's what I came in for. And that's the thing that's the true, that's like a true miracle every day. I can see it. I can see it. But the real miracle is the person that I became. I became the person my husband saw. I want to be of service. I want to be closer to God. I want to hear God. I want to turn everything over to God. I'm having a hard time. My in-laws are in decline, and they're very challenging. And we have not gotten along for 43 years. Just haven't. And every morning I'm praying for them. Every single morning I'm praying for them. Please let them have some serenity. Please let them have some peace. Please let them not be in pain today. Please let their fears be abated. If you had told me I would pray for these people, I'd be like, yeah, no, never. But it's that same thing. Like, I don't want to be attached. I don't want to be attached to it. If I hold on to my parents, if I hold on to my in-laws, I'm attached to them. I want to be free. I read this thing in a book the other day, one of our program approved literatures, you know, that there is freedom in forgiving. There's freedom in mercy. It's complete freedom. So I can hang on to all my defects, and I can hang on to all my resentments, because they make me feel good, and they make me feel powerful, and they make me feel better than you, and that's why I hold on to them. But when I can say, you know what, they're not really working. They're not really working. It feels like they're working, but they're not. And then I say, okay, God, what would you have me do? And God is never like, be an asshole. You know, like, God never says that. Sorry, I shouldn't have cursed, but be an a-hole. God would never say that to me. So God's always like when I want to get angry or judge somebody, God says, bless them, change you. And then I heard this other one the other day, bless them, cure me. Love that. I'm putting that one away. Bless them, cure me of this, right? And I like, this is how I want to be in the world. I don't want to have an angry persona out in the world fighting people. We cease fighting everyone and anything. I am looking for a fight in traffic. Man, I'm looking for a fight. I'm looking for a fight at the movie theater. And then this year I decided, I don't want to fight anymore. I got tired fighting over COVID. I'm not going to say which side I was on because I don't want to get political in here. I was on the right side. But but I, you know, I was policing people, let's put it that way, you know, to my own detriment, to my own detriment. And what I realized is that I'm in fear all the time. I'm in fear all the time. And if I feel you are compromising my health, I'm going to get in your face. And now I'm like, okay, do what you need to do. My sponsor, she's always like, why are you policing people? What are you doing? You know? And I'm like, well, because you don't have any control over that. If you're going to get it, you're going to get it. No, stop it. You know? I'm just like, okay, fine. She told me to stop it, I'll stop it. The other good thing about having a sponsor, which is wonderful, is when you want to get out of something, you can use your sponsor. Because my sponsor will say to me, like, I'll have a sponsee and they're fighting with me. And she's like, do not fight with your sponsees. That's a waste of your time. It's a waste of their time and a waste of your time. Okay. She's very good at just chopping people out. So she's like, you tell them your sponsor told you to get rid of them. And I was like, oh, okay. And so it kind of gives me permission. And everybody's afraid now to have me sponsor them. It's not like that. But, like, you know, there have been people where they're fighting with me. And I'm like, I'm not getting paid for this. I don't have a degree in this. You either, like, follow the way I'm asking you to as a suggestion or find a different sponsor, because we're not getting along in this area and I'd like to be your friend in program, right? Because if somebody's like, well, I need a really tough, I need to do, and I'm like, not me. Not me. Find somebody else who can do that. I promise you there's millions of us out there. You know, it's just... I'm really bopping around here. I'm a little distracted. I can't help it. Let's see. So what? Yeah. So it was awful. Everybody knows it's awful. And all I could think about was diet, body, exercise. That's it. And food. That was my life. That was my entire life. And I was in my chosen profession at the time. I was engaged. I was working. I mean, it was nuts. And that still, everything had that filter. Everything had that filter. Oh, you know, and I was thinking about, I was getting dressed, and I was thinking, I need to wear something that will make me look thin. And I just laughed, you know. And I remember, like, hearing this woman, Doris. Doris is old school, if any of you remember Doris from way back. Doris and her sister Jeannie were, like, one of the original OG, sorry, I can't say OG anymore, original members of this program. And I remember that Doris was speaking at this meeting, and she goes, you know, and I was talking to my sister, this is how Doris talks, and she said, and I was saying to her, like, what am I going to wear that's going to make me look thin? And she goes, you don't have to worry about that anymore. And I just thought, that's it, like, I don't need to worry about that crap anymore. I mean, it doesn't matter what you think of me. It doesn't matter. I know there are a lot of people who think I'm not worth it because I'm over 60. Like, I'm no longer worthy. I don't deserve to be on this planet, you know? And I'm just like, okay, well, that's their opinion. That's fine. Somebody else thinks I'm worth it, so I'll follow that person. You know, I have a friend who's like, it's got to be Team Ray. It's got to be Team Ray. If they're not Team Ray, get rid of them. And that was really hard for me. I know, I hear people laughing because, like, that was hard for me. That was really hard for me. I had friends who weren't nice to me, but they were my friends. And then they're not Team Ray. They're gone. They're gone. Because I don't want that. I want to, there's so many people I could call in this program. I could spend all day on the phone or all day in a meeting because they're 24/7 on Zoom. And I could do that. Or I could be wasting my time, you know, talking to people who aren't really nice to me, who don't really care what I'm doing. Those people are gone. And especially during the pandemic, like, we did a real cleaning of my home. No kidding. Like, we were like, they're gone. It was amazing. Like, we were just like, we're not going to be with people we don't want to be with anymore. It was revelatory. Because we'd be going out to dinner, and, like, people would call us and be like, when do you want to go out? And our thing is, it's from a cartoon where it's like, how's never? Is never good? It's like, that's kind of how we were feeling. And now... we can do that. Like, I always had the permission, but now, like, I really do feel like we don't have to anymore. We don't have to do that stuff anymore. So it's been great. And, you know, as far as I was a compulsive exerciser, I spoke with a friend of mine who's dipping her toes in this program, and she was at the gym for 3.5 hours the other day, and I thought, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I'm so, so, so sorry. Because that was me. That was me. And I know what that feels like, and I know the mirror and looking at everybody else, and just like I don't go to gyms anymore because I stopped liking them, and I started dancing when I was 40, and so I've been dancing for the last 21 years, almost 22 now, and I freaking love it. I freaking love it. And it makes me so happy, and it gives me so much joy, and it's great exercise, and I have osteoporosis from this disease, and probably my genetics, but I found out it's one of the best styles of exercise for people with osteoporosis, and I've been doing it all these years, so I was like, great, yay, so that's wonderful. And so food, because we're all here about food, right? And you're like, well, what does she actually eat? Does she eat? And the truth is, I had a hard time figuring out what to eat because I was always on a diet. And so there's prescribed ways to eat. Or when I was off a diet, my mother would be like, don't eat during the week and then you can eat on the weekends. So that was another form of dieting that I did. And I would take diets out of magazines. Whatever diet, whatever, it didn't matter. So when I came to this program, I didn't know how to eat. I didn't know how to feed myself. And I remember calling somebody and going, do you think popcorn's like a dinner? And she said, I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Is it... am I getting hot? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Okay. Is a thing a popcorn dinner? And we spoke it through, and she said, "Well, maybe you can make a better choice." Okay, maybe I can make a better choice, and that's how it started. Like, how can I make a better choice? Because I was a vegetarian for 19 years. I was. My macrobiotic, I was a pescatarian, anything to control my food. Nothing, none of it having to do with health or love of animals. None of that. None of that. It literally had nothing to do with that. I would tell people, oh, yeah, I'm really worried about the animals, and I'm wearing a leather jacket. I'm like, I don't know. Got leather boots on. I don't know. So it wasn't about that. It was literally, how do I control my food? And so... I didn't even have that anymore. I had to learn how to eat, and I started working in a restaurant so I could learn how to cook. I watched the line chefs, and I watched what they put in, and I was just like, all right, I'm going to learn how to cook in this place. And I did. I learned how to cook, and it was great. And I was just like, I was saying yes to everything. I was working in this place, and this guy says to me, he goes, hey, I saw you in a dream last night. And I'm like, dude, what happened? And he goes, you were working with people with your hands. I was like, really? He goes, yeah, you were doing stuff with your hands and their bodies. And I was like, oh. I called a shiatsu studio the next day, and I became a shiatsu practitioner. Like, it was that kind of thing. When I first came in here, I was just like, I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll do that. And I was so open. Like, my world had just been here. Weight, food, exercise, weight, food. It was just this big. And all of a sudden, my world was opening up. And I was just doing all this stuff. I was just saying yes to everything. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's try that. Let's do that. And it everything kind of changed. And that's kind of, like, I didn't know that laxatives were a form of bulimia. We didn't talk about that back in the day. It was mostly, I heard it was just vomiting. And so I didn't know. And then I thought, well, this can't be right. And then I had to learn how to, you know, have a bowel movement without taking a whole box of laxatives. I didn't think I could do that, but I was willing. I was willing. I didn't think I could ask God to choose my food and let me know when I was finished, because I never was full. I was never hungry because I was either grazing, starving. The thing that sent the off switch was broken. It's fixed. And I took a gamble on that where I literally said to God, all right, I'm only going to take one plate of food because I can't do seconds. I cannot do seconds. I don't look at what I'm eating. I'm thinking about the second plate, and then the second plate is the third plate. That's how my mind works. So anytime there's the I need more, not a good thing. So I have to put parameters around my behaviors. And I would look at that food and I'd be like, oh, this is definitely not going to be enough. Not going to be enough. And then I'd be like, okay, I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust this is enough. And I would just say to God, please make this feel like there's a rock in my stomach. Please, when I'm full, let me know. And it was like, I felt a rock in my stomach. It was magical. Now I don't do that. I just say, let me know when I'm full. I don't need to be in pain anymore to know I'm full, which is kind of great. But I needed that little bit of like, oh, God, we're done, you know? And now it's just like, you know what? I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. And if I don't, and I've shared this at so many meetings, and I heard it from a woman I didn't like, so be careful. listen to people you don't like. Because, like, I heard this, like, over 30 years ago, and I'm still using it. And she said she always left a bite for God on her plate. Now, I've heard this in a lot of meetings now, so either she's spreading it or I am, but somebody's spreading this thing, because I've heard it in so many meetings now because it's so powerful. And why it was so powerful for me was because she said to the group, if you haven't gotten it by the last bite, you're not going to get it. And I just thought, that makes so much sense. That makes so much sense. I'm looking for the loophole. I'm looking for the last bite. I'm looking for the perfect bite. You know, and it's not there. And if I haven't had it, it's not coming. Like, it's just not going to be there somehow magically. So I leave that last bite, and that allows me to know that I've prayed before the meal and I've left something for God. And I say this even if it's a grain of rice. Because sometimes I'm like, nah, you're not getting crap tonight. And then I'm like, all right, I'll leave you a little piece of rice if you must. You know, and we have this whole relationship, and it's hilarious. And, and I'm bringing... Okay, so traffic. Traffic's really hard. This is part of, every morning I do this thing of all my defects that I need removed, and one of them was being upset in traffic, frustrated in traffic. And again, I got that it was fear. I'm afraid I'm not going to be where I need to be on time, or because I've been hit so many times, I'm afraid that somebody's going to hit me, right? So those are my two fears in the car. So it was suggested to me that I ask my higher power to sit beside me, to get in the car before I even get in. Open the door, let her in, let her sit down. I'm like, great. I have not been screaming in traffic. Barely honking. I'm still honking, but barely. If they don't move after a few seconds on the green light, I'm going to honk. Like, that's it, you know. Maybe not tomorrow, though, but today I'm probably going to do it. So that's, like, that's been so helpful, just to, like, give that over and to have a, who's peaceful in the car in L.A.? Who's, I mean, literally, right? And I'm just like, yeah, I'm good. It's fine, because even if I'm late, I'm not in trouble. I used to feel like I was in trouble. And I'm not in trouble anymore. I'm not in trouble if I eat something that isn't on my food plan. God's not going to hate me. God's not going to do anything to me. God's just like, oh, sweetie. Oh, that's so cute that you're doing that. You know, like, that's how I feel. It's like, that's really cute that you think that's going to help. Go make a phone call, you know, because food still calls to me. It doesn't stop. It's just I don't really want it. But there are times when I'm just walking back and forth in my kitchen, and I'm just like, I bet there's something in the cabinet I can have. And there literally is nothing, because I don't bring extra food into the house because I don't want to graze. I don't want to graze. It's not good for me. So, all right. So this is how it works. What happens now? I think that's enough of what it was like, what happened, and what happened now. Okay. So what it's like now. So like I said, I have a really good relationship with my husband. I have a really good relationship with my children. And for people who know my son, not easy. And yet, he almost died of this disease when he was almost 19, and he turned 29 this year, and we are like, yeah, like every year my mom and I cry, because we're like, no, we got another year, and it's really exciting, and so I love that, because I've seen people die in this program. I've seen more people than I would care to die in this program, and It just happens, you know. Some people are lucky enough to receive their higher power, and some people, I don't know why. I'm lucky that I got it. I do believe that anybody who works for it can have it. I know that because I was a garbage eater. Garbage. When I waitressed, I ate food off of other people's plates. I didn't know who they were. I didn't know if they were sick. I didn't care. Just food on the plates in my mouth. I mean, I'd eat food off the floor. Well, we did serve some. Forgot it. just be really nice to your servers. That's all I'm going to say. I'm always amazed when people are cruel to their servers. I'm like, they're handling your food. You know that, right? That's just an aside. So what it looks like today. I get to at least one meeting a day. I'm in two programs, so I get to at least one meeting a day, usually two, because of Zoom. Like, that's been the greatest thing. And I coasted in this program for years. I mean, coasted. One meeting a week, maybe a sponsee here and there. No literature, no writing, none of that. Yeah. And I stayed exactly where I did. I didn't have this freedom that I now have in so many areas, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger because we work these concepts in all of our lives, in every part of our lives. I get up in the morning. I meditate. I have an incontinent dog, so I can't let him know I'm meditating or he'll start peeing all over the floor, so I have to pretend I'm asleep. And this morning I went back to sleep, so that happened. Okay, so, but normally it's 30 minutes of meditation. Now, during that time, I say I am powerless over everything. And then I list all the things I'm actually powerless over today. Like right now I'm working on swearing. I'm working on speeding through my life. I'm working on getting into fights with anyone or anything. And I ask God to remove these items from me. And then I say, I believe you can restore me to sanity. Please guide my thoughts and actions throughout the day. And please stay with me throughout the day and let me know you're with me. And then if I have an amends, I make it almost immediately. I'm much better about it because, again, I don't feel like I'm in trouble. One of my feelings about making amends was they're going to be so mad at me and they're going to hate me and all that kind of stuff. And I have something going on with a friend and I need to write to her and I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want her to be upset with me. But I'm like, this relationship needs some tuning. So I can leave it the way it is, or I can try and make it better, or no longer exist. I don't know. I honestly don't know. So, but what I don't want to do anymore is I don't want to ignore everything. I don't want to ignore life. I don't want to ignore opportunities, even though I don't want them. What I was told was, nobody learns from an easy life. We don't learn anything from an easy life. We learn from adversity and how do we cope. And that's why when we come in here and somebody says, I can't do this. I can't stop eating. I can't stop dieting. I can't stop taking laxatives. I can't stop running. Whatever your thing is, we're like, yeah, I get it. I get it. That's why I'm here. And I'm not doing that anymore. Because there are tools and traditions and steps that allow me to know that there is a solution if I work it. If I don't work it, I'm not going to get the gifts of the program. Although I was talking to somebody yesterday, and she was like, you know, they say that half measures avail is nothing. And she's like, thanks. And she said, actually, I've gotten a lot out of half measures. And I was like, fair enough, fair enough. You don't get everything. You don't get the gifts of, I can't believe that, like, I wake up and this is not my problem anymore. It's not my problem. It's something that is under control that I take my medicine for, which is why I do the meeting every day, which is why I do the steps every day and the meditation and checking in with God and the you know, and then the 10th step at night. And because I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to that. It was miserable. Miserable. And the idea that it's so far away from me, and yet I know it could come back so quickly. Not today. Like if I had a little, you know, like if I was like, oh, I could actually graze from 4 to 7. That would be fine, you know, because I'm not going to eat that much. Well, the first day I might not eat that much. But the second day I'm going to add more. And the third day I'm going to add more. And then suddenly I'm grazing a lot, all afternoon. And I'm wondering, how did I gain the weight back? I don't want that. I want to, it's I was told very early on, it's easier to stay abstinent than to get abstinent. So my abstinence does not have to do with what I eat, however. It is if I am following my program to the best of my ability and I'm trying to make conscious contact with a higher power, I'm abstinent and the food will follow. And that has been my experience. That is not true for 99% of the people in this program as far as their abstinence goes. I have food behaviors I no longer do. But for me, that's how I check my abstinence. And I have never left this program. Even when I was coasting, I never left. I was still taking calls. I was still making calls, still going to meetings. Just not to the degree that I'm willing to do it today. My willingness just opened up. I don't know why. I don't know why. So I'm really grateful to be here. I know this is a hard time of year for people. And so, you know, take some phone numbers, maybe make some phone calls, talk to people, go to a meeting, do some writing. Don't put it in the cart. That's what I was told. Just don't put it in the cart. I'm like, okay, don't put it in the cart. But I just want you all to know that there's so much hope in these rooms. I have seen miracles. I have experienced miracles. Everybody who's in this room is a miracle because you're here asking for help. You don't have to stay. Nobody's going to make you stay. You stay for yourself. And by you staying here for yourself, we all get better because we're a community. And the bigger the community, the more love, you know. So we just keep getting better and better and better. So bring your friends, bring your family, you know, like everybody come, because nobody will ask anything of you. Nobody asks anything of you. It's the first thing I've ever done in my life where nobody wanted anything from me. Literally, nothing. So I'm grateful. Thank you so much for letting me share. So we do questions? Yes. Okay, so we do questions now. Anybody question? Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Will you elaborate on what you were like with regards in your relationship with your husband and how you changed on those dimensions?
Okay, so the question is, what was I like around my husband, and what was the change like? Yeah, something like that. Okay, so my husband put up with me because his mother has this disease, and so he just thought it was the women's disease. Like, he really did. He's like, oh, this is just what women do. And it was awful. We lived in New York City. We went to one restaurant, Suen, I will mention it, because it is a macrobiotic restaurant, and it's the only restaurant I would allow him to take me to or go to with me, or I would take him to, and it had to be by 6 o'clock. That was my life. Now he's like, "Where do you want to go?" I'm like, "I don't care," because I heard somebody in these rooms say, "I fear no menu, no dressing room, and no country." And I was like, "Yeah, that's what I want," and I have that. I fear no dressing room, menu, or country. I really don't. I'm like, okay, whatever's on the menu, other than red meat. I mean, red meat. But yes, it was, he was better suited because he'd grown up with it. I think if he hadn't, I think he would have been like, what is actually happening right now? Yeah. Sorry. Hi.
How do you kind of, like, deal with the knowledge that, like, your abstinence is, like, lethal for other people? Like, how do you walk through that? Does it make you feel embarrassed? Like, I'd just love to hear you.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, we all say this, that, you know, your abstinence could, oh, what the question was, what do you do when somebody's abstinence is so different from yours, and how do you reconcile those two things? Okay. So, yes, it's hard. It's hard to say, like, I don't weigh and measure, and I don't, you know, and I just allow God. In the beginning, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. But, I come from severe weighing, measuring, writing everything down. So when I came in, they had a thing called Gray Sheet, which was a food plan, a very rigorous food plan. And I looked at it and I said, I've been doing this my whole life. If this is it, I'm out. And I was lucky enough to be in a room where they were like, we're phasing it out, but we are allowing it for people who still feel that they want that. And I was very, very lucky, because I'm telling you, I would have left, because there was nothing in that that could help me. But for people who come from, I don't know how much I'm eating sleeves of things, I mean, it's really good to see how much something is and how much it weighs, and I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful, because then there's so much freedom around that. I had that freedom when I was a kid. Like, my meals were taken care of, I knew how much everything weighed, brought a scale with me to every restaurant I went to, but I was 9 years old. That's crazy, right? So I don't want to do that anymore. I did that. I did enough years of that. But for somebody for whom that helps, Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah.
What did your relationship with God or with your higher power look like when you first came in, and how did it get to where it is today?
I always believed in God very, very strongly. Oh, how did your feeling about God look like when I first came in, and how did it change to today? Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Oof, handling this well. Okay. So, I always believed in God. Always, always, always believed in God. And I felt God sent an angel to sit on my shoulder. And then I felt the angel moved. I truly believed that. And so at my first meeting, the angel had been gone for a long time. At my first meeting, we talked about it, and I said, "Yeah, I used to have an angel on my shoulder. I truly believe that." But it moved, and she said, "Well, who moved?" And it really made me think. I must have stopped talking to God in the way that was respectful and in a manner that wasn't just "Make me lose weight," you know. Like that was my prayer: "Make me lose weight." You know, and I think about that, like, January 1st is coming up. I would have been so over this, like, I'd be really working hard this week. You know, getting everything in before the 1st. Seriously, I know myself. I'd be like, yeah, let's go, because the 1st. And now it's like, who cares? It's just another day. I could have abstinence tonight. Like, I don't need to wait till Monday the 1st, the Groundhog's Day, whatever day it's going to be. Shavuos, as my friend says. I don't know, you know. I don't know. Anyone else? Questions? Oh,
hi. I believe that you said that, like, as you got your sobriety, your kind of world opened up, and you're like, yes, you know, I'm going to say yes to everything. I've been noticing, I think Kira can attest to this, that I just want to say yes to everything and anything. And I'm just wondering, does that kind of slow down a little bit? Because I feel like I'm going to run up into the hills and just scream, like, yes. And then, you know, there's only 20 more hours in a day. So
I don't know. That sounds lovely to me. Like, I wish I was just, like, running around all day going, yes!
Yeah.
Yes, it must have slowed down. I don't find myself doing that on
a
regular basis. But
like a high?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just, like, wondering, do you kind of get used to your sobriety, or are you going to kind of come down your pink? God, I love what I'm doing. I'm just feeling like my brain is really sped up from, you know, seeing color.
Yeah. So enjoy it. Why not enjoy it? Not worry about it. You know, like, as my sponsor says to me, stay in the day. Who cares what tomorrow is? It's for today, you're like, yay, look at all these colors. Woohoo, you know?
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah. I'm done. Thank you all.
Thank you.